Dear friends, let us turn in the Word of God to Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. And the verses that I want to leave before you are verses 23 to 26. That is our text. Our text introduces to us to this blind man. And he is about to experience the most amazing thing. He is to experience the miracle of being able to see. He's going to meet an optician that has never existed. This optician that not just fixes the eyes, gives new eyes both for us physically, but spiritually too. Here is a man who is to experience one of the strangest miracles in the New Testament. So I want to speak to you about the spiritual optician from verses 23 through to 26 in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. The Lord Jesus Christ and his men, his disciples, they are returning to the town of Bethsaida, we are told in verse 22. The last time that they were there, the Lord Jesus had healed many of the sick folk in that town. Now he has returned. And a group of people, we are not told exactly who these people are, but they bring a blind man to Jesus. They are begging. They are pleading. They are doing anything they can to get Jesus' attention and they're begging that he would touch their friend. They want him to perform another of his miracles. And we are told these words. Again, look at those words in verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. And then it says, and besought him to touch him. To touch their friend. That's what they want. These people were Gentiles. They had to come to believe that Christ's power to heal resides in his touch. That if he was to touch someone, they would be healed. And so they are begging. That's the word. They besought him to touch him. They pleaded with him. But do you know something? They missed something. They failed to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to heal without even touching. They didn't realize this. They didn't appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal with just a word, with just a thought, if he wanted to. There are people today, they think they have to do certain things to be in certain places, to experience certain things done to them for them to receive some kind of a healing. There are people who have said to me recently, oh, things are not so good in our household. Things are not so well. So we need to be baptized. We need to be baptized again. And I said, what will that baptism do for you? What will it do? Or many other things. People think, I need to go on certain kind of a pilgrimage. I need to have certain things. If I have a cross in my house, if I have some sort of an image or whatever. If I have these things in our house or on my neck or whatever. If I come and see a minister, the minister can do something special. If I confess my sins to a priest, then something will happen. They don't know exactly what, but something will happen. Well, here are people who don't actually appreciate the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we watch the Lord bringing sight to this blind man, there is more, I trust you see this, that there is more going on here than meets the eye. Like all the Christ's other miracles, this one seems to be, again, a special. But there is something different about this. This seems to be not just for the blind man, but it was for the disciples too. It was for them to see. As well as this blind man. You see, all of the Lord's miracles, every time you read of these miracles in the New Testament, really they are what we could say parables, spiritual teachings in action. God is teaching us, the Lord is teaching us something through this. Jesus has been teaching his men that he is the Messiah, that he is God manifest in the flesh. And this miracle reveals the way God opens the eyes of the spiritually blind people. And by nature, that's how we are all like that, spiritually blind. We don't really see the truth. And so you might be sitting there and as I used to do, reading the words, but they really don't make any sense. We are bored. We are not really affected by the power of it. And we look at people and think, well, why are they moved in this way? Why are they so happy to hear these things? The truths that are condemning them. The truth that is telling them what evil people they are. And they still come back and listen to the same things. What is it that moves them to hear these things? It's because they've been spiritually made to see their own need and their own nature. They've come to see that sin abounds. But also they have come to see that grace does much more abound in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've come to see this spiritual optician for themselves. So this miracle teaches how God is able to take someone who cannot understand things, spiritually speaking, they can't understand spiritual truth, and how he works patiently with them. And some of you young people, especially those of you who have been brought up in the church, sometimes you can become very frustrated about things. Maybe you are even thinking, well, when I grow up, I really don't want to come to this place. If I have my own place, I won't go to church. I won't read the Bible. I'll do my own thing. My friends, don't think like that. Realize that you need to see. That's what you need to see. See the Lord. And you need to say to him, Lord, and beg of him. Maybe that's what you ought to do today. Maybe after the service, you ought to go home and just spend time with God. Pray to the Lord. Seek his face. Plead with him. Plead with him again. Maybe you've done it before, but go back again and plead again. This word here, that they besought him, it is continually. They kept saying it. They kept saying it. Sometimes we give up too quickly. Sometimes we think, well, I've prayed this before. A month ago I prayed this and so on. No. Go to the Lord again and again and again. Well, friends, here the Lord Jesus Christ asked this man something. And he asked him this. As he takes him, he asked him a question in verse 23. It says he asked him if he saw aught. He asked him, do you see anything? After he spat upon his eyes and rubbed his eye, he said, do you see anything? Anything at all? That's an amazing question. We could ask ourselves this question. What are we seeing? He's asking us, do you see anything? Anything spiritual? Do you see anything about yourself? Do you see anything about my word? Do you see anything about what I have done? Do you see anything in this world that really is lasting, that really truly satisfies you? What do you see? Do you have God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in sharp and clear focus in your heart and life today, dear friends? If you're a Christian, do you have him before you? Do you know who he is? And do you understand why it's important to know him? Do you see anything? Do you see anything this spiritual, heavenly optician asks? So let's examine some of the steps that the Lord Jesus Christ takes this man to then heal him. And I only have 2 points. The first is this. From verse 23. We see the preparation for his healing. The preparation for his healing. It says in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. So the first thing the Lord Jesus Christ does, after these people had been begging him, please heal him, he takes him by the hand and takes him out of the town. The friends don't do that. The friends only bring him to the Lord Jesus. But then the Lord Jesus takes him by the hand. He doesn't just push him to this way, that way. He doesn't do that. So he hears these friends calling upon him. Lord, here is a man. He's our friend. He doesn't see. And so the Lord Jesus Christ does touch him as requested, but nothing happens. So just touch him. So he holds his hand. And nothing. Before he had touched people and they had been healed, but why not now? But do you really think nothing happened when the Lord Jesus touched him? Nothing visible took place. Nothing took place as far as the crowd is concerned, but something very profound occurred there. Jesus takes this man by the hand, and he begins to lead him out of the town. Just as he did in a previous passage in Mark chapter 7. He did the same thing with the deaf and the mute. Jesus leads this man to a place away from the crowds to do his work. Now you put this in your mind. You have this image, this scene in your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ is walking this man to a different place. Takes him by the hand and begins to lead him away. Why do I emphasize this? You see, these people, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't at the outskirts of the town. He was right there in the town. It takes time to go out. Have you ever gone out from the center of Cheltenham? Out, just walking out? It takes you a while to go out. You have to maneuver around things. If you're walking, you have to know where you're going. Down certain pathways and roads and streets and alleys. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. So you can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ leading him around all these obstacles that were in his path. You can hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, here you go. There you go. Be careful here. And so on. That's what was happening. I hope you see that. You see how patiently? It simply says he took him out of the town. So, there's a lot more to it than that. He's patient with this man. And this man sees it. I don't know how the other friends brought this man to him. But the Lord Jesus Christ gently takes him out. He's so kind. It shows kindness. He doesn't say to the friends, you bring him out. I won't take time. That's below me to take this man. Who do you think I am? I am the Lord of glory. I am the creator. You bring him and then I'll heal him. He doesn't do that. So this holding of his hand is precious. It's interesting, again, I don't want to go on about this too long, but he takes him by the hand, not by the arm. You know, a child does something naughty. You grab their arm or whatever you can find, their ear, and pull them and take them to their place that they ought to go. But the Lord takes his hand. It's much more intimate. It's much more precious. You can see the intimacy of this. The Lord is taking care. I'm there for you, he's saying. I'm there. It's like you have this intimate thing when a couple are holding hands, walking somewhere. What are they saying to each other? When we are there, it's been so displayed, hasn't it, in the past couple of years or so. It's been awful. Not be able to shake people's hands, hasn't it? And we put our hand out to say hello. It's good to see you. But now standing at a distance, it's not the same. So the Lord takes this man by the hand. He says, I care. He says, I am with you. I'm not going to let go of your hand. So he takes him to this place of miracle. You see, dear friends, there is this great spiritual truth that is buried in this image. And I want to share with you before we move deeper into the text. You see here a clear portrait, a clear picture of how the Lord leads lost and blind sinners, and he brings them to the place of salvation. We don't recognize his touch until our blinded eyes are opened. But throughout our whole life, dear friends, Jesus has been working. If you are here, you look back and you think, how has God worked in my life? The things that has happened to me, the various things that I've been kept from, the decisions that I made, and it could have all worked out in the wrong way, and yet the Lord led me in this way and that way, and for some reason it stopped. Certain things. I wasn't allowed to have certain things, and now I look back and I thank God for it. You have to see God's hand in your life. You have to take encouragement by that. Maybe you are discouraged this morning. And you think, no, I am not getting this. But this one thing you can get. God has been in control. Every event, every circumstance, every tragedy, every blessing was the Lord, as it were, taking your hand and mind in his grip as he brought us to himself. You can believe what you want to, but you can't get to God, my friends, on your own. Because naturally we are in this state of in this state of sin, and you can't get to God on your own. You need the Lord to take you by the hand, as it were. Has he? Has that been your experience? Or are you just trying figuring out alone? You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take you. That's the best way. You can't figure it out. You can't follow some sort of a guru and go online and say, well, I will type this in. How do I get to God? And then listen to somebody who doesn't know himself how to get to God. My friends, you go to the Word of God. There it is. That you are faced with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is something that we see. Jesus comes to you. And the Lord says to us, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so you pray, Lord Jesus, draw me. Draw me. He rescues the sinner from the dangerous byways of sin. The good shepherd, you see, he goes after the lost sheep. He takes them. He finds them. He rescues them. He leads us to himself. My dear friends, where is your hand? Is your hand spiritually in Christ's hand? Does he hold your hand? Maybe you still don't see things clearly. Maybe you feel I'm fumbling. I'm stumbling in my way. You see, what sin does, sin has blinded us so much. And we might experience certain things as this man that thus far he was experiencing. Here's a man who has touched me. Here's a man who's helping me to get through my way. But he still couldn't see. Maybe that's you. You're seeing various things and you're intrigued by them. You're maybe like somebody who's sitting in a car, and with tinted glass car, and the windows are up, and you see individuals with this tinted glass, and you see them talking together, you're walking together. You don't exactly know what are they smiling at, what are they laughing about, what are the things that they are speaking about, what's the direction, where are they going? You don't see any of those things, but you're at a distance. Maybe that's who you are right now. But dear friends, look to the Savior this morning. You ask Him to take you by the hand. You say to Him, I don't want to be just an observer. I don't want to be people, just to see people. Just to see them experiencing many things. I want to enter into that myself. We must move on to the second point. There is this preparation. The Lord Jesus Christ takes this man by the hand and leads him out of the city. But then, you see, secondly, the process of his healing, this man's healing. Here was a blind man being taken out of the city by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we read this in verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house. One of the things that makes this miracle a little different from the other miracles of the Lord is the way he takes this man by stages, stage by stage. Things change gradually for this man. Usually the Lord Jesus Christ either touched them or spoke to them and they were healed. And here there are various steps that the Lord Jesus Christ takes to open this blind man's eyes. You see, what is telling you this? One thing we learn is that God works with individuals and each one is important to Him. The Lord Jesus raised three people from the dead over the course of His earthly ministry. And each one was different. He touched the daughter of Jairus. He touched the stretcher on the which that young man was, the son of that widow of the town of Nain. And then he spoke to Lazarus. He raised these individuals in different ways. And his healing miracles were also different. He healed one leper by touching him. He healed a group of 10 lepers by simply speaking to them. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ would go where the sick individual was. And other times, they would bring the sick to Him. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ went and touched the sick one. Other times, the Lord Jesus Christ would heal from a distance. And dear friends, that is a great, great comfort to me. I hope it's a great comfort to you. You don't have to be like other people. You don't have to say, well, I have not experienced this way of salvation. All you need is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him save you in the way that He wants you. Some people hear someone's testimony and they think, oh, well, I haven't had that experience. Am I really converted? Is God really working in me? So take encouragement by this, dear friends. It's not experiences, mere experiences that saves the soul. It's the grace of God through faith, the scripture says. Just as long as you have it settled in your heart that your faith is not in yourself, your faith is not in the church, is not in any kind of baptism or any rituals that you have taken, but your faith is only in Jesus Christ and what He has done. It's not merely about the experience. It's about genuine saving faith. And so the first thing the Lord Jesus does is to spit in this man's eyes. And you might wince at that. You might think, what an awful thing. I imagine that this man's eyes were diseased. I imagine that his eyes were shut and crusted over. And the Lord Jesus just turns to him and spits on his eyes. And to us, that sounds disgusting. But in ancient times, in the Middle East, people thought differently as we do now. They believed that there was healing power in human saliva. And actually, we are told even now that the enzymes in our saliva has that soothing and healing effect as well. So if you get a cut, you've cut yourself, you've fallen down, children, on the ground, and it's all dirty. What do? The first thing you do, you put your thumb in your mouth and you start to lick it or whatever. Or even worse, your mom does it to you. And you've all experienced that. Why is that? Saliva has that soothing qualities. So the Lord Jesus spits in his eyes and immediately touches this man. And Jesus was, what is he saying to this man? He was saying to this man, by that action, I am about to do something for these eyes of yours. And I would imagine that someone spitting in your eye would be a disturbing thing. But the spitting is immediately followed by the Lord's tender touch. This man can't see, but he can feel, you see. He can't see, but he can feel. And there are things in your life, dear friends, you can't see right now, but you feel it. You sense it. There's something different about the Word of God. There's something different about God's people. There's something different about this message of the gospel. The Lord is working in a way that makes no sense to us, but it was understood by this blind man. And then the Lord Jesus Christ asked him if he can see anything. And so when this man opens his eyes, maybe it was the first time he opened his eyes after a long, long period of time. And he says, I see men as trees walking. That tells you a number of things. I know my time is gone, but it tells you three things here. First, it tells you that this man hadn't always been blind. He had seen trees before. And he had seen men before. And so he was able to identify the people around him as people. And the second thing that it teaches us is that his healing was far from complete. He could discern light and shapes, but he couldn't see clearly. And thirdly, this partial healing, it's not suggesting that the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ was failing. Jesus is using this man's healing as a living parable. He's teaching us something. The Lord Jesus could have healed this man with a thought, but he chose to do it this way to teach his disciples and us by extension this valuable lesson. And so he touched him again. And this time everything becomes crystal clear. His healing is complete. So let's not miss what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here. This blind man is a living illustration of the spiritual condition of the disciples too. Ever since they had been walking with the Lord, he had been using one shocking and amazing miraculous event after another to teach them that he was the Messiah. He was the very God, the very Son of God. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him cast out demons. They'd seen him raise the dead and walk on water and multiply bread and the fish, along with many other powerful proofs of his identity and deity. And the Lord Jesus led his disciples from a place of a total spiritual blindness to a place of where they could see him clearly. And so in this passage, these are just like this man. And if you're a Christian, you would see yourself in this man too. You see how the Lord has been dealing with you. How there are many things that still are unclear to you. But my friends, if you're a child of God, there is the day coming. Right now, you see through the glass darkly. But then, this world and eternity will become clear before you afterwards. Our Lord Jesus' goal, his goal is that this man would come to see him, and his goal is to send him off to glorify him, worship him, live for him. And that's what he does. It says in verse 26, and he sent him away to his house. And that's his goal for for all of us in the sense of spiritually. His goal is to send us off to glorify Him and then to arrive safely to our Father's home. And so Jesus Christ comes, He spits in His eyes. He brings conviction, as it were. That's a picture of conviction. Dealing with the crusted eyes of an individual. To affect a person's world. The person has to open his eyes. It affects their world. The Holy Spirit in the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit brings conviction and uses this conviction to open our spiritual eyes and point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Jesus Christ, He saves us by His grace. When we put our trust in Him, repent of our sins, that is what He does. It's a great miracle that is done. So a salvation is a miracle of grace. But then, dear friends, we don't always see things clearly. And if you're another Christian, you see Christians and you see them at times sinning, offending, not understanding, doing all kinds of things. And my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is working on them. That's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is near them. He's touching them spiritually. As Paul said, we see through a glass, through a mirror darkly. And as we spend time in the Word of God, as we spend time in prayer, as we are taught by the preaching of the Word of God, the Lord develops our spiritual sight. We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Is that your goal? To know the Savior? To have a clearer sight of the Lord? Are you like this man today? Maybe people have brought you. Maybe you have come yourself. And until now, you have been very confused in your mind. You're not really getting it. You're not really seeing it. You think of Christianity as some sort of a thing that you do outwardly. You're maybe a church attender only. Someone asks you, what do you believe? You say, I'm a Christian. But you haven't got it. The penny hasn't dropped, if I could use that expression. My friends, here is a wonderful picture. The Lord is at work. The Lord is at work for those who come to Him as blind sinners. And He will touch them. He will lead them. He will take them. He says to you, be not faithless, but believing. So, where are you found this morning, dear friends? God still saves, God still blesses, God still works in individuals. And He does it in His own way. Don't try to copy others. What you need to do is to follow the Lord, trust Him, and let Him work in your life in the way He wants to work in your life. Praise God that these disciples or those friends of this man didn't disturb the Lord Jesus. Praise God that these friends didn't come and say, no, just touch Him now. Why hasn't anything happened? They didn't come in between. They just let the Lord do His own work. So, dear friends, I ask you this. Have you gone to this optician? You go to the opticians of this world. They would put something on your eye, a device. They put all these lenses in. They say, do you see number one, number two? They do it so many times. But all you will receive at the end is a prescription and a lens, maybe. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I examine your eyes and I will fix the spiritual eyes. Have you got your eyes fixed? Or are you trying to put something on it just for the time being? What the Lord does is eternal. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts to us. Amen.